You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Y'all found the book of Revelation? I shared this verse this morning. We're teaching on the book of Revelation in the class. Did I tell you to turn there? Okay, well, of course. You're not psychic. You're not supposed to be. We're Christians. Okay. Waiting for me to tell you. Revelation chapter 1, if you would turn there. We were teaching this on the class, the book of Revelation, and this one verse just jumped out, and it was just timely that we hit on it today. But notice what it says, Jesus speaking, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Woo! You know, that may not mean a whole lot when you just read that on the surface, but to us as Christians, as believers in Jesus, that means something. The resurrection means something. See, since the resurrection, everything's changed. Everything changes with the resurrection. In Jesus' case, it's pretty simple here. He now has the keys of hell and death. Did you know before the resurrection, he didn't have them? When someone died as a looking for the coming of the Lord. Someone died under the old covenant. They went down. They didn't go up. They went to where Abraham was, a place called Abraham's bosom or paradise. After Jesus rose from the dead, he has the keys of hell and death now, and now we as Christians go straight to heaven when we die. See, the resurrection changes everything. Everything changes. When Jesus rose from the dead, it started a brand new covenant. It started a whole new deal. Absolutely brand new deal. You and I, when you think about it, are saved. Well, of course, we're saved because of the resurrection, but we're saved because we believe in the resurrection. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in God, but or I believe in heaven, you know, or I believe the Bible in a general sense. But the Scripture's very plain. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Woo! So how important is this event we're talking about? I mean, what's the impact? What's the implication? What does it do for us? Everything. I believe, I confess Jesus as my Lord, and I believe God has raised him from the dead. I believe the tomb is empty. We're not talking about Buddha. We're not talking about Muhammad. We're not talking about Confucius. We're not talking about religious leaders. We're not even talking about Moses and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, the prophets of old. We're talking about the Son of the living God who came down here, died for your sins and mine, who they threw in a tomb, who burst out of that tomb the third day and is alive right now as I speak and seated at the right hand of God. A living Savior, not a good teacher, not just a religious leader, not just the head of a movement called Christianity, just like Buddha and Buddhism and Muhammad and the Islamic faith. And so, No. This is Jesus who conquered hell, death, and the grave, who holds the keys of hell and death and rose up victorious. Not someone who just led a good life, not someone who just taught us a few things, not someone who just left an example for us to follow, but someone who conquered hell, death, and the grave and is alive today. Woo! No, there's no gravestone for you to go visit. There's no marker where he died. Are you with me? They don't even know for sure where the tomb is. Because he's not there. He came out of that tomb. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And he says here, you know, in the book of Revelation, I love this because the book of Revelation, when you think about it really, is a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to give to his angel, to give to his servant John, to give to the churches of Asia. And the revelation, we think of revelation as end time prophecy, seals, trumpets, vials, the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation is a revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus is the Savior, and he will be the judge of the earth when he comes. And he is coming again. And he will rule and reign forever. Hallelujah. This is a revelation of who he is. See, at this time we call Easter, you know, and we celebrate and we get together and do all kinds of things. We need never lose focus of what this thing's all about. It's about an empty tomb. It's about an empty cross. It's not the cross that we preach, although we do preach the cross in the sense that he died on it, and the preaching of the cross his death and his burial is part of the gospel. I understand that. It's not the tomb that we preach, although we talk about the stone being rolled away, hallelujah, and the angels sitting on the top of it, and the women going inside and seeing that he wasn't there, and the disciples running and seeing the same thing. We do preach that. But I tell you what we preach is what happened after all that, that Jesus is alive, that he's risen. That changes everything. Amen. Thank God Jesus has risen from the dead. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles with you. I hope you do. Turn to Romans. Boy, this is good. Romans, first chapter. Let's look at some, I just want to minister on and hit the theme of the resurrection changes everything, because it does. It changed everything for you. It changed everything for me. When I accepted the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, listen, it changed my whole life. I became born again. I didn't get saved until I realized Jesus was alive. I didn't get saved until I met that requirement of confessing Jesus as my Lord and Savior and believing that God has raised him from the dead. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. You don't have to turn there, but if you're writing notes, he said, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain, and we're still dead in our sins. You know, I'm amazed that some people say, well, Jesus didn't really rise. He's still there, but his spirit is still around. And that's what he was talking about, that the goodness of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. He was a good moral teacher, and he lived beyond the grave and what he said and what he did. Oh, come on. Now, you believe that, you won't go to heaven. He didn't just live beyond the grave with his teaching. He didn't just live beyond the grave with the impact that he made. He lived beyond the grave physically in his body. And what we celebrate here is not the afterlife that we live. Listen, a lot of people believe that you live somewhere after you die. What we're talking about here is that the body was resurrected. That's totally different than what a lot of people would have you to believe. We as Christians don't believe that Jesus lives on in his teaching. We believe he lives physically. He is alive, came out of that grave the third day, was seen by many witnesses. They touched his hands and his feet. He spoke with them. He ate with them. Hallelujah. And we're going to see him again. Woo! Resurrection just doesn't tell me there's a life in eternity. It doesn't just tell me there's an afterlife. It doesn't just tell me that I'm going somewhere when I die. It tells me that the body will be raised from the dead, because Jesus was. It's physical existence, a brand new physical existence, not just a spiritual one. And I think this is significant. Romans, first chapter, you found it? Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. I love that gospel. Everybody say gospel. Gospel just means good news. Everybody say good news. All right, I know people say, well, we need some more hellfire, brimstone preaching. No, we don't. We need some more heaven preaching. You know, it's one thing to find out you're going to hell, but, you know, it's a whole lot better day when you find out how to go to heaven. Maybe there is a hell. I know there is one. The Bible preaches that and teaches that. I know there's a hell. But the good news is not that there's a hell. The good news is there's a heaven. The good news is you don't have to go to hell. The gate's open. What are you doing in prison? We are supposed to preach the good news, not that you're all a bunch of worthless, no good sinners. You hate your mom and you hate your papa and never done a good thing in your life. God loves you and I love you. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. No, that's not good news. The good news is, praise God, Jesus died for your sins. He rose again. You don't have to go to hell. The price has been paid. God loves you. He doesn't hate you. He's not your problem. He's not your enemy. He's your ally and your friend and the lover of your soul. That's the good news. And that's what we ought to preach. Amen. There is a heaven, hallelujah, that you can gain. So it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the good news of God. Now see, there's bad news and good news. Bad news is there's a hell. Good news, there's a heaven. Bad news, people go to hell when they die if they don't know Jesus. Good news, you go to heaven when you die if you do know Jesus. Now I'm going to preach the good news. You don't have to go to hell. You say, well, I've done all this, done all that. Well, that's bad, but you know the good news is you can come out of that. Hallelujah. I don't know what sin you committed. I don't know what sin you're in, but you can be forgiven. Hallelujah. You can be free. So this is what Paul was called to, and it says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen closely. who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection changed everything for you and me, and it changed everything for Jesus. Now, I know Jesus was God in the flesh, but he came down here as a man. When he really became the Son of God is when he was raised from the dead. In fact, that's what the scripture says in Acts. He says, "This day have I begotten thee," speaking of the resurrection. You say, "Well, I thought he was the Son of God the whole time." Yes, he was the Son of God, but he is the Son of God resurrected from the dead, the first fruit of all creation, the firstborn among many brethren, the captain, the leader of our salvation, the one who started a whole new race called Christians. When he came out of that grave, he was the firstborn. Now, before that, he was God. I understand that. But in the natural, he was just a man of the seed of David, according to the flesh. But according to the Spirit, he was the Son of God by the resurrection. Man. Y'all out there? So something did change for Jesus. You know, he came out of that grave with a glorified body, one that could just appear through walls. When he appeared to John, the first chapter of Revelation, he glistened like the sun. It took the breath right out of John, and he fell down the ground like a dead man. Something happened after the resurrection. You know, one day you and I are going to get a resurrection model. Woo, hallelujah. I'm ready for that resurrection body. That one that doesn't grow old. No more makeup. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, ladies, you don't have it yet, so just keep using the makeup. That's fine. Now, I'm just saying, just good. Makeup's a good thing. But there's coming a day you don't need any. Coming a day, no more wrinkles, no more eyeglasses, no more back problems, nothing. No. Brand new body. Hallelujah. And that's because of the resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead, our bodies are going to come out of the graves too. You may die before he comes back. If he comes back while you're still alive, your body will be changed while you're in it. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep, we shall be changed. This corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put in mortality, and death will be swallowed up of life. Hallelujah. My flesh will be changed, and I'll get a resurrection model, a brand new body. But see, everything changes with the resurrection. I think it's significant here too, and I've taught this before, that you may be one thing in the flesh. I may just be Michael Williams according to the flesh. I may be just a certain age according to the flesh. I may, you know, have certain parents and friends and relatives and so on according to the flesh. But see, according to the Spirit, I'm something else. Y'all see that? No, you don't see it. A couple of you do. Third, fourth verse. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection changed him. Amen? Resurrection changes us. Hallelujah. He now has the keys of hell and death. You and I are now born again. Woo-hoo! Hey, while you're in Romans, turn to Romans 6 chapter. We'll just go over there and look at that. You know, we ought to reflect and meditate, think on, and, you know, what these great events in history mean to us, especially Christianity. You know, you think about Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and then you think about Christmas, you know, the birth of Christ, and you know, regardless of whether it's the exact date's right or not, we know what happened. We know that Jesus did come. He was born. We know that he did rise again. Hallelujah. Now, he did rise again sometime in the springtime. I like that. It's significant. Winter doesn't last forever. Life comes up out of that ground again. You know, I always like to say the devil, you know, he thought he buried Jesus, but all he really did was plant him. And what you plant comes back up. Jesus even said, except a seed die and fall to the ground, it'll not come back again. Well, that's what happened. He died, and he was planted. You know, old Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea lent his tomb to him. He only rented it for 3 days. He didn't need it for very long. It was just a weekend stay. You know, I don't know what the charge was on a weekend stay in a tomb, but he didn't actually give him his tomb because he didn't need it very long, you know. Hello. 3 days later, he's gone. Woo! I love it. Checkout time was right before sunrise, I guess. Romans 6 chapter, it says in the 8th verse, now, if we died with Christ, I believe I died with Christ when I accepted him as my Lord and my Savior. My old man died. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I know that when I accepted Jesus, I was born again. I have a new life now. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I believe in Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. So I believe I'm born of God. And of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I've done that. Most of us here today have done that. And so we're Christians, we're believers, we've been born again, we're dead to our old life. I'm not the person I used to be. I am a new person now. I am a Christian. I am a new creature in Christ. Amen? And he says, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Mm-mm. I didn't just die with him on that cross. I wasn't just crucified with him on that cross. But I live now by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20 tells us that. And so I'm alive now because Jesus is alive. I'm saved now because Jesus came out of that grave, because Jesus arose from the dead. It changed everything for me and you and us as Christians. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't be Christians. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Can you say amen, somebody? Don't worry, that's about the extent of my putting sugar on it. Death no longer has dominion over him. 10th verse, for that the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Everybody say, me also. Likewise, you also. Reckon, said, I told you, many times that Paul is a Texan. He said, reckon and y'all and, you know, and just proves my point right here. But anyway, likewise, you also reckon. I could just hear Paul say, all right, you know, I believe it. But anyway, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man. I think we miss the impact of that a lot of times. We struggle sometimes overcoming sin, and we don't realize that really, since the resurrection and since I accepted the resurrection, I'm dead to sin. I don't have to sin. Oh, I can, I do, and sometimes way too much, but I don't have to. I'm not supposed to. I'm alive to God now. I've been raised from the dead in Christ. The resurrection should mean something. It means I'm free from sin. It means I'm free to serve God now. I'm dead to sin and free to serve God. Whereas before I couldn't, now I can. Doesn't mean I'm doing it, just means I can. So don't buy that lie, you can't. I can't shake this. Yeah, you can shake it. You can definitely shake it. You can shake off those heavy bands. You can lift up those holy hands. You can shake the devil. You can shake sin. You can shake habits. You can shake anger. You can shake it. You can. Why? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen. What makes you think I can overcome this sin? Because the tomb is empty. That's why I know you can overcome that sin. That's why I know I have the victory. He gave me the victory. He wrought the victory. He won the victory. Hallelujah. And I and you and all of us are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, I love the example. Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. Well, we're more than conquerors. Well, what in the world does that mean? That means we didn't fight, but we got the victory. See, the conqueror won the victory. But you and I benefited from the victory. You know, the best example I know of a heavyweight boxer that goes out in the rings, 220 pounds, and, you know, solid muscle and steel and beats it out for, I don't know, 13 rounds or whatever. It used to be 15 rounds. Beat it out and come home with some 10, 15, 20, 30 million dollar check and big bulk of a man just beat somebody to the ground. This is a really good Easter sermon, isn't it? And all bloodied up and beat up and big bulk of a man walks into his house, opens the door, and his 5 foot, 110 pound wife says, "Give me that check." When he's a conqueror, she's more than a conqueror. Are you with me? Because she got the winnings. He took the beating. So in one sense, you know, that's what Jesus did. He beat the devil in his own game, on his own turf, and arose victorious 3 days later and gave us the victory. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? And so we're more than conquerors, and it changed us. The resurrection changed everything. It changed history. Christianity started the day Jesus rose from the dead. It didn't start, many people say, well, Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2. No. It started when Jesus rose from the dead. It started when he took that blood and put it on the altar. He became the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. He was the first fruits. He arose on first fruits, a feast of first fruits. He was the first fruits, and then we are the ones that followed. Oh, you got to love it. Gotta love it. Changed everything. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter. Mm-mm-mm. 1 Peter, the first chapter. You know, you can read, just take the last chapter of the Gospels. You can read the resurrection story over and over and over. And we've done that before, you know, here on a Resurrection Sunday. I just thought I'd talk about what a difference it's made today. I had that stirring in me to talk about the change that resurrection makes in our lives, what difference it made in Jesus' life, what difference it makes in your life, my life. Hallelujah. It means something. It means something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Christmas means something. You know, I always like to center in on why we do what we do. Why do we celebrate? You know, we celebrate to remind ourselves. We celebrate to not forget. We celebrate to reinforce the truth of something, the impact of something. We have holidays. They're called holidays. Holly came from holy. Holy days. That's what they were. We just kind of flippantly say, it's a holiday, you know. I get to get off work. I get paid sometimes, you know, or whatever. We get together and we have dinners or we go out and hunt Easter eggs or, you know, all the events that take place, you know, that around these holidays. And I think we forget sometimes it's a holy day. It's a holy day. 4th of July comes around, we pop firecrackers, and that's well and good, and I understand that. But you know, that's, we're celebrating the birth of a nation. Yeah. Veterans Day, Moral Day. Those were purposely set aside so that we wouldn't forget. Yeah. People fought for our freedom. People died for our freedom. We don't need to forget this. Let's set a date aside so we can remind the next generation so they don't forget. Are you with me? And that's good. That's a good thing. We need to do that. But in the Bible, we have, you know, Christianity. We basically have a couple of big ones, okay? Easter and Christmas. But sometimes even as Christians, we just not necessarily all that holy. It's just a time to celebrate and have fun, get together. And we should get together. I'm all about that. I mean, we got all the kids coming over our house today. And, you know, and Brent's going to cook for 4 or 5 hours. You know, she's already cooked pies and all kinds of things, and we got grandkids coming over, and I think it's awesome. It's a wonderful time to get together. But I don't want to forget why we do this. We do this because Jesus, the Son of the living God, came, died for our sins, and rose again, and conquered hell, death, and the grave. And you and I'll tell you, when we stand over that grave, when that loved one we put down in the ground, and we stand over that grave and we look at that tombstone, we know this is not the end. This is not the end. And when you come to the last breath you take in this life, when you come to, when you lay your life down for the last day and the last breath you take, you know that on the other side, hallelujah, there is a heaven waiting for you. You have an inheritance in heaven because Jesus arose from the dead. and he conquered hell, death, and the grave. This means something. It's a right. We have a right to celebrate. Amen? We should celebrate. We should reflect. We should remember, hallelujah, this holy day, Easter, holy day, Resurrection Sunday. 1 Peter, found it? 1 Peter 1. Notice what it says in the third, let's see. Let me turn there. 1 Peter 1. This is the third verse. Says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. First verse? Third verse, okay. Third verse, blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope, a living hope. It is the mercy of God that you and I are saved. It's the mercy of God, the grace of God, that you and I are, you know, our sins are forgiven, and that God took us in, and we're part of the family of God. No question about it. It's God's mercy. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. You know, I hate to pop your bubble, but you're not that good. I'm not either. But God is. And he loves us. Don't understand it. Don't know why he loves you. I haven't figured that one out. But he does. He loves you. I don't know why he loves me, but he does. And his mercy, his abundant mercy, he has begotten us into a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, he couldn't do that without Jesus rising from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you and I wouldn't be saved. God's abundant mercy would not have been shed upon us. The price had to be paid. Jesus did it. He paid the price, and he came out of that grave victorious. Woo! We've been justified by the resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Justified, I love that. Just if I'd never sinned. Justified. I've been justified. How'd I know that? The tomb's empty. That's how I know. Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of God. That means that I have a living and a living hope. That death's not the end for me. You know, in one sense, I've heard it said this way, that we're taught the resurrection many ways throughout our lifetime in little bitty object lessons, you know. For instance, you go to sleep at night. That's a good one. That's an easy one. You and I lay down to sleep at night. We get tired. I don't know about you, but I get tired. End of the day. Look forward to going to bed. As opposed to when you're a little kid and you don't want to go to bed, you think you're going to miss something. I think a sign of maturity is you look forward to going to bed. You're ready to lay down, see, and go unconscious, as it were. But you know that tomorrow you'll wake up refreshed, strong. The tiredness, the soreness, hopefully the soreness, tiredness and soreness will be gone, and you start a new day. But, you know, you got to go unconscious, as it were. You've got to go to sleep, as it were, to wake up refreshed on the other side. So every day is kind of like a little resurrection teaching, you know, that we finally at the end of the day wear out, lay down, but we get up stronger the next day than we went down the night before. Well, life's that way. You know, you kind of, hate to say it, but your body kind of wears out as you get a little older. You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, the outward man perisheth. The inward man is renewed day by day. You know, as you get older and older, and finally at one point you'll lay down for the last time. But that's okay. There's something better on the other side. You're going to wake up better than you went down. You're going to wake up with a brand new body. Woo, hallelujah. First you're going to go to heaven, then you're going to come back and get this brand new body. And this resurrection model is never going to get tired. Praise God. I mean, clothing stores and cosmetic companies going out of business. Pharmaceuticals go under. No more drugs, no more medicine, no more sickness, no more sign, dying. Old things pass away, all things become new. Hallelujah. All because of the resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead. So it says here that, third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You and I have an inheritance in heaven. We have a reservation in heaven. We have a place waiting for us, hallelujah. Eternal resting place in heaven because Jesus rose from the dead through the resurrection. See that third verse? We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, everything changes. Amen? You know, I think of examples that we can see of a new body. I'm going to get a new body. You're going to get a new body. You might just get it while you're here. I mean, he may just come while you're still alive and you just change just like that. That'll be fine too. But if you could imagine, what's coming is better than what you have now. Something better's coming. It's kind of like that lady who wanted to be buried with a fork, you know. And they asked her why she wanted to be buried with a fork, and she said, well, you know, when you have food on the table and they come and get the plate, you hold on to the fork because, you know, dessert's coming, something better's coming. She said, so you bury me with my fork when you lay me down. And they put that fork in there because really something better's coming, amen, on the other side of that. You know, if you think about it, and I've used this example before, and it makes sense, a tadpole, you know, swims around in the water, and this is deep, isn't it? This is good? Okay. It's the Discovery Channel all over again. But the tadpole swims around in the water. He has one existence. He's just in the water. That's it. He has one world. That's all. But you know, and I know, that tadpoles turn into frogs, you know. And when you turn into a frog, what happens is the tadpole now has two existences. Now it's a frog. It can jump out on the land and walk around, jump around, hop around. Or it can go back in the water and swim around the water. So this transformation, this new body, as it were, this frog got, the tadpole got and became a frog, didn't take away from the world the tadpole had. It still has that world, but now it has another world. And see, our resurrection body's like that. You think of a caterpillar, it's just first crawling around on a tree. It has one existence, one world, just on that tree and on those leaves. But when it makes a cocoon and then comes out as a butterfly, it can still crawl around the limbs, but it also can fly around out in the air. Now it has two existences. Now it has two worlds. It didn't lose the first world. It still has that world. It can still land and it can still walk on the leaves and the branches, but now it has another world that it can operate in. Are you out there? A seed's that way. A seed is, you put it in the ground, it's just in the ground, it just has that one world. But when it's transformed, when it's renewed, when it comes up out of that ground and it gets a new body and becomes a plant or a flower or a tree, all of a sudden it's out of the ground and it's in the ground. It's still in the ground, but now it's out of the ground. And so it has two existences or two worlds. See, often we think of what heaven's going to be like, what this new body's going to be like, and we think in terms of losing this world. You know, Dick may be wondering, can we still fish? Do we get to go out on a boat? I know he lays awake at night thinking about things like that. You may be thinking something else, you know, and it's kind of like that kid, you know, he was riding around his tricycle eating a chocolate candy bar, and his dad said something to him about, you know, one day, son, you're going to grow up and you're going to like girls. He said, like girls? You like her? Yeah, you're going to wind up liking girls. You probably fall in love with one and get old enough, you finally wind up marrying her, become your wife. He says, ooh, really? He says, well, I get to ride my tricycle and eat chocolate candy? In other words, he couldn't imagine, you know, what's life worth living if you can't ride your tricycle and eat chocolate candy? He couldn't imagine adding something to without losing something. I think that's what we are. We think of heaven and we think of the new body and we think we're going to lose something. You know, we kind of get enamored by the world and the beauty of it and the hobbies we pick up and the likes that we, you know, develop, and we think, well, you know, you get to heaven, it's going to be different. No, it'll be different, all right. It'll be better. And the landscapes up there is nothing like you've ever seen. The lakes up there, Dick, they just blow you away, the lakes. Are you with the fish that you see up there, and the creatures, the animals, it's amazing. So you're going to go from one existence to another. Now you're going to have access to two worlds, not just one. You know, to be real technical, you could think of a line. You know, you draw a line on a piece of paper and just straight line, that's called one dimension, is what that is. But if you turn it, you make two dimensions out of it, you can draw a square. You know what I'm saying? Now you got two dimensions. You still have the one dimension still there, the line's still there, but now you're going another direction, so you still got the one dimension, now you got the two. But hey, let's go a step further. Let's make a cube out of it. Now it's a three-dimensional object. It's fuller. It's more complete, isn't it? See, a line is a line. It's a line. That's all it is. A line is a line. It's a line is a line. You can just draw as long as you got paper. You can keep drawing it. But now you go into another dimension when you start making something else out of it, a two-dimensional thing. It becomes fuller, more complete. When you go to three dimensions, it becomes solid. Now we're making a cube that we can hold in our hand, and all the lines are still there. The one dimension there, the two dimension squares there, and the cubes there. You haven't lost anything. You've actually just become more full, more complete. I would submit to you, when we get this new body, we're not going to lose something here. We're going to become complete. You and I are not complete. That's what I would have you get a hold of, and we need to understand this. You and I are not complete yet. We're complete in Christ. But this body's got to be changed. This corruptible has to put on incorruption. Corruptible has to put on incorruption. This mortal has to put on immortality. You cannot exist in heaven. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to have a new body to live there. But when you get that new body, it'll work in heaven and it'll work down here. You will gain a world, not lose one. You become more, not less. All because of the resurrection. That's the body Jesus came out of that grave with. He came out of that grave with a body that when they were locked in a room, he just appeared right there in a room with them. This body could do things that it couldn't do before. Not because he was so insubstantial, but because those walls weren't solid enough to keep him out. A resurrection body will walk right through that wall. Not because it's a mist or a vapor, but that wall is not even solid enough to keep a resurrection body out. Resurrection bodies go right through that ceiling. Appear, disappear. Woo! That's what we got coming. All because Jesus rose from the dead. See, everything changes. Amen? When Jesus rolled that tomb back, he didn't roll that tomb back so you get out. He rolled that tomb back so you get in. He come right through that rock. He could have just come right through. He didn't need that. He rolled the tomb back, the stone away. The angels rolled it away and sat on it so everybody could look in there and see he wasn't there. That wasn't for him. That was for us. And the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen.